Oshanti. What sanskaras that are there within the self, because the yoga power, the power that Baba's giving me at that moment is protecting me from my own sanskaras jumping out. But also, that state of yoga and Baba's yoga power is protecting me from any other influences that are coming to me from outside. When Baba spoke about the avyak stage of Brahma Baba, and seeing and not seeing, and up above, and no distractions at all, I'm very aware that the way others see me is whatever it is I'm projecting from my own being. A very simple example and almost a first lesson example. When I have the consciousness of the soul, then when others see me, how do they see me? They don't get focused on anything external for myself either. But my stage of soul consciousness means that those vibrations reach others, and my experience with Brahma Baba and your experience with any one of the dadis, coming in front of Brahma Baba, literally, Baba's drishti would pull me out from my skin and focus me in my own stage of soul consciousness. Baba was a magnet that was able to do this. And today, why just the dadis, but the fortune of all the double foreigners is that even today, all of you have had personal drishti from Baba. If you think about the 600,000 Brahmins of Bharat, only a fraction of them would have had personal drishti from Baba. But in terms of Baba's foreign children, everybody, I think, at some point in their Brahmin life has had personal drishti from Baba. And so, what happens at that moment when you're taking drishti from Baba? And I know at that moment is Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, the combined forces, but yet it's an indication to you of how the other power, the other being, is able to pull you out of the consciousness of the body and stabilize you in that stage. Same thing now, if I'm in the consciousness of the soul, and if my depth of practice of soul consciousness is of that caliber, then when others see me, what do they see? Who do they see? It should come to the point where either they just see the form of the soul, or they see just the form of light, the angelic form that Baba has said all of us have. Not just Brahma Baba has an angelic form, but all of us have an angelic form also. And so if my own consciousness is in that state of soul consciousness and angelic consciousness, then that is really what others will see also. And so I'll be helping others on the path of purity, but certainly nobody will be able to pull me or distract me away from my path of purity. A story that you heard many times, that when Daddy was feeling a little bit disturbed and she couldn't understand what was the cause of that disturbance early days in Karachi, and Baba's answer to her, well, you've broken your attachment to them, the Lokic family, but they haven't broken their attachment to you. And so what you now have to do is to increase your level of yoga to such an extent that your yoga breaks their attachment to you. And so it's a follow-on of that same idea, that whatever is my consciousness, that either permits others to have attachments and other feelings towards me, or if totally I am in that state of purity and I've gone beyond those things, then my vibrations will also serve them, and I'll be able to keep myself safe. and I'll be able to release myself from anything of theirs touching me. I'm talking more about feelings of attachment and connectedness, but also it serves the other way. If there are feelings that are not clean, dislike, then again, my stage of yoga should be such that I'm protected by Baba, and those feelings also aren't able to cause me any pain or disturb me in my own connection with Baba. Otherwise, the attractions cause problems, but also where you feel that there's someone who has animosity towards you or a little bit of ill feeling or dislike, whatever reason it may be. Okay, I have to make sure that there's nothing I'm doing that can cause offense and cause that dislike. So first step. But beyond that, let me be able to protect myself so that those feelings don't touch me and cause any harm. So the attainment, the concentration, the stage of yoga that Baba wants us to have, the angelic stage that Baba was describing, all of those are aspects of purity that the soul has to work towards and attain. And then, of course, the main point that Baba was making in terms of purity, that I have to reach a stage where there's purity even in terms of dreams. Nothing else can touch you, not even in your dreams. And obviously, Baba's talking about a stage in which there's such a deep cleansing that has happened that old sanskaras have really been finished, so that only the state of the pure original sanskaras of the soul now remain. Because dreams very much connected with what's happening in the subconscious. And so where on a conscious level I'm maintaining good thoughts, clean thoughts, I'm attentive, the things come out in dreams, then it's there because the sanskaras still haven't changed. And so, again, classes on this topic where Dadi's point has been that dreams are an indication. Dreams are a reflection of what's going on inside yourself very deeply in terms of sanskaras. Not even conscious, but really the deep things that are hidden away within the soul. And so the dreams allow those to be emerged and come as a warning that that cleansing still has to happen. And so that stage where it's finished even in my dreams. And so Baba's talking about that stage where it's no longer just on a conscious level and my connections here and now on any level whatsoever, but really I've settled everything in terms of all the burdens that I'm carrying from the past, and so even that has been completely cleansed and I've reached that point now. So that's the stage that Baba's asking us to move towards. And if today still a little bit of anger, a little bit of greed, a little bit of upset, a little bit of attachment. I think all of you were there in Shantivan this morning when Daddy Janki made the comment of there's a little bit of attachment. Baba told the mothers that's impurity. But Daddy added a few more things. A little bit of upset. I get upset a little. Now, that's interesting. To come to such a state of stability that I don't even get upset. Now, you know, on a logic level, okay, anger and attachment and greed, all these would be recognized as being really bad. But upset? I don't know many people in the world out there who'd say getting upset is bad or is wrong in that sense. And here's Baba telling us that even a little bit of upset, and you've moved away from the stage that Baba wants to see you in. And it's a fact that if I am upset, it's a very strong indicator that things aren't right. I haven't used Gyan properly, I'm not connected with Baba, and why on earth should it upset me anyway? you know, what is it that has the power to destabilize me? Because upset means lack of stability. And so how have I handed over my power to anything or anyone that they have so much power over me that I've been able to let go of the stage that I would like to keep for myself? The whole question of purity and power comes together for me. Looking at that one statement of getting upset is also an indication of lack of purity. And purity is a power, purity is a virtue, purity is a quality, but purity is also the power that I have, just as any one of the other qualities are the powers that the soul has, the power of peace, the power of love, the power of truth. Yes, these are the original qualities we have, but as we emerge them and express them, and as we take power from Baba, the expression of these qualities in terms of the power of the soul is actually an indicator of the depth to which these qualities are deep within the soul, and an indicator of how far they'll travel with me through the cycle. So, for example, the power of purity. Now, how much power do I have in terms of my purity? And what is the depth of this? Is it going to stay with me through the whole cycle till the very end? In the sense that, although by the end of Kali Yuga there's lots of impurity we've accumulated, yet still, Brahma Baba's life, an example for all of this. The power of purity in the sense that Baba's life of spiritual discipline was even then of a very, very high caliber compared to what's going on now in the world. Almost impossible to even imagine that there could be human beings who still follow that sort of discipline in their life. But an idea that the standards that Brahma Baba set for himself, whether it was in terms of his business or his spiritual discipline or his donation and philanthropy, his ethics in terms of his work, it gives you an idea of why, number one, Brahma Baba at the end of Kali Yuga with all those qualities. How many people do you see today with those standards? Or, you know, where were my standards compared to Baba's standards? And even as a Brahmin, you know, the lovely statement that Baba said, you know, normally the expression that's used is whoever has courage can become like Arjuna. Whoever takes responsibility, whoever takes initiative is like Arjuna. And I noticed it yesterday and then again today in the rereading of the Murali. I was saying that that aspect of whoever takes initiative and responsibility and wants to be number one is like Brahma Baba. We've often said that who is Arjuna? It's Brahma Baba, but Arjuna is also any one of us. And so Baba commenting yesterday that anyone who takes the initiative is like Brahma Baba, following in those footsteps. So the power of purity, how deep is the purity that I'm imbibing today? And is it going to be so full within the soul that it's going to last me through the cycle of 84 births? And equally, the other qualities, the power of love, the power of truth, the power of peace, again, Brahma Baba's life exemplary, and we see that. And in terms of my responses to situations today, under the right conditions, when everything's okay, it's Madhuban, everything's going my way, everything seems fine, and the purity is okay, great, no upset, everything's moving well. And then my choice. And it might not even necessarily be that it's wrong, but it's not how I would want it to be. Now, is that causing a change within my consciousness and my state? And If it is, then how deep is the power of purity that I've imbibed if something that's going on now is able to make me shake? And so to whatever extent I've been able to develop stability within my state of peace and purity and love, to that state, to that extent, I know how deeply I've been able to imbibe it. And the more I face things and the more things come my way and the more I'm able to maintain that state, to that extent, I know how deep I've actually inculcated this myself. And that's on a conscious level. And of course, on the subconscious level that Baba's talking about, dreams, that quality of purity only is possible if I've been able to have that state of yoga. Because the two ways in which we're settling the things of the past, lots and lots of good karma, and you're accumulating enough good karma to counterbalance all the things that the soul has acquired, all the karma which isn't so good, all the unclean karma. And for many of us, that's not such a difficult subject, because we're all creatures of doing. I would say that's true of the majority. I don't know all of you so deeply, but many of you I do know. And it's much easier for us to do an hour karma yoga than an hour yoga. Correct? And we may say, oh, I'd love to have more time to spend in yoga. But then I get people saying, but, you know, I can't spend more than this amount of time in yoga. I really can't spend the whole day in yoga. It's not possible. I'm being very honest, and it's true. So karma yoga, easy. Ask us to do 10 hours karma yoga, and we'll probably be able to manage it quite well. But 10 hours yoga, now that is another story, absolutely. But also, anyway, Papa's not saying now sit down for 10 hours and don't move. But yes, let me be able to not just focus on the karma yoga, the fortune of service and good karma that Baba offers, that Sangam Yoga offers, and there's infinite amount of good karma that you can do. There is really no limit to it whatsoever. There's always, always, always something more that you can do. And I'm not saying this as a discouragement, in the sense that, yes, we're workaholics and we tend to go that way, but I'm saying it in a very positive way. There's never a moment in which I can say there isn't service to be done. Now, even if it's the way Baba's talking about today, through attitude and vibrations rather than just words or action, there is service to be done continually, and so let me take advantage of it, because it's been a safety line for me. You know, lots of good karma, and that brings you lots of help in many different ways from Baba and the family, and your samskaras also can change through that. Definitely they change through that. For the other side, the fire of yoga. And so I think that, again, Baba Smirli on the comments on stability and concentration. Am I spending my time really making sure that I'm focused on God, so that God's forgiveness and God's compassion, you know, use this term, the fire of yoga, but the fire in this case is really where God is able to forgive me. And this is why only God is God, because no one but no one either has this role or has this capacity of being able to forgive in this way. Don't have the capacity, well, that's one factor, but also no one knows my story. They don't know my story of this one birth. Is there anyone who truly knows your story from beginning through to the end? Unlikely. There's people who know bits of you, bits of your life, and if they were all to come together and have a discussion about you, God forbid, God forbid, you know, that would be interesting. But fortunately, it's not going to happen. So, nobody knows me. I know myself to whatever extent I want to know myself, but I know myself only in this birth. But it's fascinating to think that God knows me. And this morning in the Hindi class, I was saying that God knew me when I came to Him, and He accepted me with love, even though He knew me. And at that point, my context was that I didn't know what sanskars I have within myself. And at this point today, after some time on the path, I'd say, yes, I think I know pretty well what my sanskars are. I hope there's no more surprises waiting for me. At least no surprises in terms of my sanskars. Other surprises, great, but I don't want any more surprises in terms of what's within the soul. But I'm now appreciating the fact that I don't know the story of my past births in detail. And God does. Yesterday night's Murali and today's Murali form a very interesting follow-on, where Baba so often states that, no, I don't know what's going on inside your heart. I don't know. I'm not Antaryami, the one who knows all secrets. You have to come and tell me what you want to tell me. And so that's Baba teaching us how to be honest. So that's important. But yet in today's Murali, Baba was absolutely, absolutely acknowledging that God sees, God knows, God hears, God absolutely has a record of everything that's happened. And I think it meant not only of this birth, but I think it meant also of all my past births. And so only God knows the full account of my births, and yet God has the compassion to know and still love. When we know something about another, just recently somebody said to me, I really don't want this person to know what's going on, because they hold it in their heart and then it comes out in their words, and their words become very sharp because they're holding it. And so even one mistake or two mistakes, if a human being knows about them, they use that as leverage against you in some way or another. Not just before Gyan, but after Gyan also. Until sanskars change, there's a likelihood that that continues. And God knows. And yet God accepts us when we come to Him. And today, God offers me the opportunity of being able to really clear the slate completely, wash away everything. This is the combination of God's compassion and capacity of forgiveness. And so that stage of why I need to focus, why I need to be so attentive that I don't get distracted by anyone or anything, is so that I can have that stage of yoga in which God is able to forgive and release, so that then the accounts of the past can finish, and I'm the release is the change in my sanskars. My divine sanskars are released, and the old sanskars are released, the release of both, release from the burden of the old and the release of the opening of the divine ones. And we get a glimpse of it from time to time, in the sense that you've created a good connection with Baba, and Baba's influence is working on the soul, and you can feel how the best within the soul is actually being expressed. And then a little bit of carelessness or some karma comes up from the past, and then what's my response? Do I stay in that divine stage, or is there still a karmic connection that's going to create again the old things to come up? So again, that indication of how far I've used God's love and capacity to settle things, and I'm taking advantage of God's offer to me at this time. And so purity, that stage where all the old things have finished and really there's nothing else inside. And what's the feeling at that time? You know, when Baba talks about the sweetness of the soul. And again, I've been thinking about how when the soul is really pure and clean and filled with God's love and all those good things, then the word sweet in one word actually encompasses all of this. Just one little word and it encompasses it all. The expression of sweetness from the soul. It's not a sticky sweetness that holds others in bondage, you know, of attachment, but it's a sweetness that's very pure and elevates others and inspires them to move ahead and come forward also. But very different to the state of either sharpness or bitterness. A soul filled with bitterness, and there's discontent, there's anger, there's all sorts of stuff, and, well, you've been through it, but also you've felt receiving it from others, the other end of the stick, and a soul with bitterness coming in contact with you, and what does it leave you with? But a soul with sharpness, again, okay, so there isn't that bitterness, which is, you know, the really deep pain that the soul is still going through, but there's a rough edge there, there's a sharpness that's there, and again, not yet that state where the cleansing has happened and it's only God's love that's filling the soul. And so the word sweet, it sounds strange, but it's like shorthand for Baba, and it actually conveys very beautifully when you start looking at it, the quality of purity that the soul has been able to acquire through that connection with Baba. It was interesting, I was sitting next to Dadhirathan Muini yesterday, and one of the terms that Baba used was to come to the state where there's ignorance of impurity, where you don't even have any knowledge of what is impurity. And Dadhirathan Muini made a little comment, and she said, well, that was true in our days. I don't know whether it's true anymore. And it's true that, you know, Dadhirathan Muini was 11 years old when she came to Baba. And I don't know how many of you have been exposed to her. Sometimes when groups come here and Dadi Janki is not here, then Dadhirathan Muini gets the responsibility of looking after everyone, and people really take a lot of benefit from her. When Dadi Janki is here, she tends to go off on tours and leave it to Dadi Janki. But she was the first Dadi who actually came abroad and stayed at London Center for a year and a half. And her renunciation and tapasya were incredible, really, truly incredible. So 11 years old, and literally there was no awareness of what is impurity, at least not on that gross level. And then, yes, all souls, as I said, have to go through the cleansing. But to come to that state where you don't even know what is impurity, to be washed so clean with God's love that you only see souls, you only radiate light, you only see the highest in souls. Yes, theoretically you know that there's defects, but you're not touched by them. You only see the beauty, you only see the goodness. Now, that's what Baba's asking of us. And it's a level of the purity that I've been able to attain through effort to reach wherever it is I am, where I say to Baba, yes, that's what I want to have also. And where my intellect still challenges it and says, oh, it's not really possible to reach that stage. Well, I'm pretty far away from that. with the fact that Baba's taking up this point, and I have the good fortune of being in that gathering in which Baba's speaking of it, to me is an indication that Baba has the faith in me that yes, this is the stage I can reach. And so I'm going to take it on that level, that it's an expression of Baba's trust and faith in me. And so yes, this is what I'm going to do. One last thing I want to touch upon, and that was subject of realization and what it is that prevents the deep, honest realization that Baba wants me to have, so that then through that deep realization I can also change. And it's actually two things. I'll use the Hindi words because they, you know them anyway, they put across a lot. The manmat and the parmat. Lack of realization, and this manmat and the ego of my own ideas where I think I am right. And so no capacity, no realization at that moment. And so A, it's ego, and B, it's my desires. There's something I want. And so that's going to be a huge inhibitor, and it's not going to allow me to have realization. So in terms of manmat, these two things, and the third thing, my attachments. I'm still needy, and I'm still taking from someone, some others. And so that influence also, and I see on others that allows me to be influenced by others. And so that influence works against my own conscience, but also my capacity to realize what it is Baba is asking of me. And she said, why is it that I get influenced by others? And it's because I've allowed myself to be subservient to them, because there's something that I'm taking from them. If I use the word victim, again, it fits in well. I'm influenced by somebody, I've become a victim to their ideas, but what is it that made me a victim? They were offering me something that I wanted from them, and I feel that I then have to stay under their influence, or I'm in bondage to them. And so what is it that another human being is giving me? Is it a little bit of comfort, a little bit of support, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of praise, a little bit of love? What is it they're giving me? And so how come I've allowed myself to become a victim to that? And then that state really taking me far away from God and separating me from the one who can actually fulfill all my needs. Don't ever need to be in a situation of being needy and being dependent on human beings. But of course that influence has come and I've been separated. And so these two factors, the manmat and the paramat, preventing my realization. But another thing, I've had realization and still I'm not changing. And how come that's happening? And I would say that realization also is percentage. Okay, so theoretically I know that anger is bad, but maybe I haven't yet come to the state where I feel the deep pain that anger is actually causing me. Anger is causing me to harm others and create pain for others. Anger is an easy example to take up, so I'll take that up. But I'm not actually seeing how deep is the pain that anger is causing me, or attachment, or whatever, whatever. And when I feel how it's actually creating a deep wound within the soul that's making me bereft of the happiness and love that I actually want to have, I think it's in that state that I'll say, I'm really ready to let go of this. because who wants to carry on with pain? I don't want pain. I want to be released from it. And so that state where I'm ready to let go of it, only in that state when really I feel how deep is the wound and how great is the loss that this is causing. So some thoughts on yesterday and today's Smriti both come together. And this Smriti hasn't gone out across to the world, because the world out there has had only the Sakar Smriti, which is carrying a date, the 16th. But it's interesting that we had the fortune of hearing it and being exposed to such a deep, insightful Smriti. I hope it does go out across the world. I think everybody needs to hear it. But our fortune that we've heard it already. Om Shanti.